Good morning. It is still morning, 10:34 a.m. A lovely morning. Yesterday morning at this time it was almost 90 degrees. This morning it's just 70, 72, maybe 74 by now. The sun is hot when you stand in it, but anywhere in the shade it's beautiful. 17:56. First mile, I'm not breaking any land speed records. Getting out is the key, and I am, so. Yeah, yesterday was one of those really squirrely days. It was a very odd day. It was, I slept until 8. This morning I almost slept till it was like 7:45 before I crawled out of bed, which is why I'm so late this morning. I'm still not awake. I still haven't had breakfast. I have had a cup of coffee. Most of a cup of coffee. But yesterday was, I'm up. I'm sort of thinking about perhaps getting breakfast, and I got sidetracked a couple of times. And I know I had a meeting yesterday online at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, oh yeah, well, still plenty of time. I get the walk in, and then. The phone call came in for the conference call, and it's like, what? Wait a minute. It was just like 9 o'clock a minute ago. And it was 11, it was time for the meeting. It was 12:30, it was 12:15 by the time the meeting broke. And so when I realized that it was already 90 degrees out there, out here, and in the early afternoon, I just didn't bother. I couldn't force myself to go out. Oddly, it did cool off. I think I made a comment about it's 85 degrees and it's not going to get any cooler. Actually, it did. In the evening, around 5-ish, it clouded over and thundered and brought in a dose of cold air. Dropped it down to 80. But it was only cold air by a relative measure. Still wasn't anything as nice as this. This is actually quite gorgeous. The air feels soft today. So I'm walking and not talking. There's stuff in my brain that I can't really share. So I'm sort of trying to find topics I can talk about. The big thing yesterday was a conversation that was going on about the Amazon Hashuft kerfuffle, which I honestly do not understand why anybody cares. That was refreshed in the writer community yesterday because Amazon sent out, KDP specifically sent out a letter to all its KDP authors asking them to write to the CEO of Hachette and even suggesting some talking points about reminding him of his collusion and noting that Hachette's contract terms are less than stellar and some other stuff. It's like, yeah, you know, personally, I think that was a PR stunt. I don't think they expected everybody to write to the CEO, but I expected them to mention that Amazon had done it, and it was basically a tit for tat for the Patterson letter. And the Patterson letter, for those who haven't followed, is a letter that about 900 authors signed. It was written by, not Patterson, Preston? Yes, Preston. The Preston letter. It's got a P sound, and it's actually got a PR sound, so it's like, my mouth and my brain aren't always in sync. So the Preston letter was signed by 900 authors, and it was really an egregious, idiotic missive. And so I think this, and they posted it as an open letter to Amazon, and there's an ad in the New York Times. Cost something over $100,000 to make the ad, and it was financed by two or three of the authors. So yeah, they were able to buy a New York Times ad, full page New York Times ad, to complain that they were being hurt financially. So it's like, really? Seriously? You're going to spend $100,000 to complain that you're being hurt financially. Is there any part of this that seems, oh, I don't know, disconnected somehow? Is there any part of this that seems like perhaps even pooling the resources of three or four of the authors to cough up $25,000 apiece in order to take out a complaining, whining ad? And the New York Times might not actually work in your favor. And there's been a conversation going on in the writer's discussion group about it. Somebody posted the link to Authors United, which probably should be renamed Publishers United or Published Authors. Mainstream authors who want to see the world returned to pre-Kindle days, united.com. But anyway, they were, was this discussion, and I made the comment about, like, well, yes, I sort of hope Hachette wins because it would make their life easier. And I really, you know, it really didn't matter. On the grand scheme of things, the letter itself didn't matter. The aggravating part was that Preston was suggesting that all of his loyal readers boycott Amazon. And while that's fine, yeah, you guys, maybe it's 100,000 of them. Maybe it's 1 million of them, I don't know. Go ahead, boycott Amazon. It won't make a drop in the bucket in terms of the amount of people, the number of people who are shopping on Amazon. And I think that's the part that they don't really get. I think that's the part that they don't really, really understand. I don't think Hachette understands it, and I'm reasonably certain that since Hachette doesn't understand it, I don't think any of their authors understand it, because they're just accepting the party line. And that's that, well, you know, 100,000 people or even 1 million people is, wow, that's a big number. And yeah, if you're talking about Barnes & Noble, 1 million people is an astounding number. Well, you're talking about Amazon, and it's not quite a drop in the bucket. It's like 1 million people a minute on Amazon. How many people go to all of the Barnes & Nobles in total in a day? All the Barnes & Nobles in the United States. How many go a day? If it's 1 million people, I would be desperately surprised. That just seems like a ridiculously high number, because there just aren't that many Barnes & Noble outlets. And a lot of them are college bookstores. Good morning. So the idea that, you know, 1 million people is going to make much difference to Amazon is kind of silly. It's also kind of silly because I really don't care if Patterson's, well, I don't care if Patterson either, but Preston or King or any of the other people who signed that. You know, I really don't care if their readers don't, you know, if they go ahead and boycott Amazon. Okay, go ahead. Because I'm pretty sure the majority of my readers aren't King. They aren't Preston. They aren't paying $15 a unit for ebook titles. Monk Post. So I made some perhaps snarky comments about it. And the original poster took me to task for, because I said he was taking it personally, this guy Preston, and all the other authors were taking it personally. And I had some pushback. It's like, well, how can you not take it personally if it's hurting your bottom line? I said, well, you have to understand, these are not Preston's books. They are not blocking Preston. They are not obstructing the sale of Preston's books. They're obstructing the sale of Hachette's books. That Preston happened to have written it, that Preston has a financial stake in it, based on how many get sold, is, you know, unfortunate. But they are no longer his books, and that's actually the crux of the problem. That's exactly the issue. They are no longer his books. As soon as he signed his rights over to Hachette, they became Hachette's books. If Preston wants to write another book and sell it on his own, or sell it through a different publisher, Amazon wouldn't blink. They wouldn't think twice. They would go ahead and sell Preston's book. Come on, get out of the way. So there's this misconception that Preston and his followers seem to have bought into, and that these are their books, and that Amazon is blocking Preston. They're personally singling him out, or singling out the dozen or so Hachette authors who have been singled out personally. And the reality is, it isn't even close. That's not even remotely the situation. They're blocking Hachette's books. Preston signed a contract and gave his rights to Hachette. It's made him probably several million dollars over the course of his writing career. And now Hachette is playing games with their business model, with their largest supplier. And from Hachette's standpoint, they're quite rightly trying to get the best terms possible. But the basic crux of it seems to boil down to, what price do you put on ebooks? Now, I've heard a lot of, it's like, well, Amazon's just trying to control the price. They want to be able to set the price. Well, most retailers are able to set the price. I really don't know how to make this any clearer. If you own a store and you buy merchandise at wholesale prices, which is what Amazon and Hachette are negotiating, then you usually get to set your own price based on a margin, based on cost of goods acquired, which tells you how much cost of goods sold will be. And you add a percentage for your profit, and so you sell the goods. And what Hachette wants to do is actually reduce their revenues, which also reduces the revenue streams of their authors, by charging above $10.99 and getting a higher than 35% margin on those sales for their ebooks. And I'm pretty sure that they weren't getting 35% to begin with, so I think they're probably getting something more just because they're the big guys and they get to negotiate things that people like me don't get to negotiate. So I suspect they're probably gleaning something much more comparable to their paperback margins, which is, I think, 40% that Amazon keeps over the price of cost of goods sold. But the reality is that Hachette and none of the other authors are taking into account the importance of price elasticity of demand, and that the higher the price, the fewer units you'll sell, and that but comparing $14.99 or $15 to $10, $9.99, Amazon's data shows a 74% increase. So for every 100 books you sell at $15, you'll sell 174 at $9.99. And moreover, you'll get double the revenue. So instead of 35% at $15, you'll get 70% at $9.99. So not only do you earn more money, not only do more readers read your books, not only do you sell more units, everybody wins. I mean, there's really, other than $9.99 is really a stupid price. But if, you know, if you're McMillan and you think $15 is the right price and $9.99 seems like a terrible discount, but you'll actually make more money there. The problem is that I think most of the mainstream press and the mainstream authors in particular have conflated the value of their work with the sticker price on the cover. And the problem is that that's not really all of the calculus. That's not really the only calculation that has to happen. And if the value of your work is the sticker price on the cover, then charge $300. You won't sell any, but your work won't be devalued. And that's the stupid part. That's the stupid part. So if you make more money and you reach more readers at the lower price point, why are you holding off for the higher price point? Because you don't want Amazon to set the terms? You don't want to agree to the terms of that contract? Because if you charge X amount, Amazon is going to charge you a premium for listing? Which seems only fair because you're costing Amazon money too. By not selling that many books, Amazon doesn't make as much. It's kind of dumb. So I made a comment that it would make my life easier if Hachette wins. So I kind of hope they prevail. And the original poster, Grace, something or other, said, how do you expect that's going to make your life so much easier? I said, well, I won't have to compete with the mainstream publishers on price. I already outperform them on social media and marketing. I already outsell most of their books to begin with the exception of, you know, the top 1% of the bestsellers. So, you know, I'm already doing better than they are. And in large part because I'm able to compete on price. So if they come down to $9.99, then those books are going to be more appealing. The more readers might buy one of their books rather than two of mine. So that makes things slightly more difficult. I'll still probably win just because I have the edge on social media. Something that nobody seems to really get. And I also have fans like you guys, which helps a great deal. But that was the result of 7 years worth of work. I'm going on 8 now. And in spite of all of my foibles and frailties, my depressions and family interference and family intervention and everything else, ouch, 18 and a half. 1840 on the back half. Well, it's still sub 19, but just barely. It's just as well. My shins are complaining. As long as it's sub 19, that's the target. And we'll get back into shape here, and then we'll get the metronome going and see if we can't get back up to 17, 16 and a half. But anyway, that was the last couple of days have been some of the ideas that have been banging around in my head, and it's like, you know, I'm not all that bright. If I can figure this out, I'm pretty sure Hachette can. So why is Hachette balking at the price? Of course, the answer is they're trying to protect their paper sales because they see themselves as a book dealer, not a story vendor. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and it's Monday. I have to get going early. So with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.